This is episode 163 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel New Toys Rule Manzano.
Oh, yeah. New Toys. For those who are on Facebook, or for Dion who got a first person view of it.
Exclusive.
Y'all know
exclusive
what I'm,
view.
If he's got an exclusive, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Will Scrumptious Hegwood.
Delicious and filling.
And Ryan, and still your Lore Master Champion until defeated, Stan Azuski.
That is correct. Took down Mr. Matthew Carey, who keeps a spreadsheet of all the nicknames of pilots on top of the points changes, which was stunning.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, today we got a full show. We're going to be breaking down the Scum and Villainy faction, going through the chassis, talking about their place currently in the meta and where they might go in the future. Just like last time, how we ranked, FO, Scum, we did FO, Grand Republic, Resistance, and Separatist last time. But those are very small factions compared to the original trilogy factions. So today, it's all about Scum. We're going to give you a list of the week. But first, we're going to go ahead and hit our announcements and news. So the first thing, which is, I think, relevant to us, is Disney announced that The Bad Batch is going to be a show that's coming to Disney Plus, an animated show just about The Bad Batch. And we know, according to the text here, that it's actually going to be happening after the Clone Wars, after the aftermath of the Clone Wars, which is actually I find really interesting. And I think this could do two things for the game. I think that we could end up getting The Bad Batch during Clone Wars pilots, and then who knows where they would fit in afterwards. I mean, we have to see what the story happens, but could be cool. I'm excited. It was part of the story arc for the last season of the Clone Wars. Really, really good. Any additional comments from my friends? No? Cool. Let's go.
Oh, I thought Will was about to say something.
I was trying to think of what ship do they even fly? Do they have a transport that's like specific to them or anything?
They seem to have, yeah. In the first four episodes, their shuttle seemed like it was just theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be like the only ship. The biggest part about this that does excite me is the immediately post Order 66 timeline.
Yep.
Like, from the clone perspective, from clones that aren't perfect but have maximized their potential with their slight mutations. Like, are they fully on the Empire side? Are they are they going to be fighting? Do they have the implants correctly? Like, we don't even know right now.
We know nothing. So I think it should be cool. And of course, once it comes out, we'll talk about it a little bit. We'll see how it applies to X-Wing. And we should, there's five of them now, right? Because what's his face became a part of the Bad Batch. I'm missing his name. Cody? No, not Cody.
Oh, it was either Echo or Fives. Fives.
Was it Fives?
It was Fives.
Yeah.
Or was it Echo? I don't know. I'm seeing the chats going like, five, Echo, five, Echo. They can't make up their mind.
Echo...
That might be a spoiler. Let's keep it a mystery.
Oh, watch it yourself.
There you go.
All right, cool. But anyway, should be cool. We'll see what happens. Next story I want to hit today is something that's being reported by a couple of players. This came to us first from Tommy Adams, longtime GSP viewer and part of the fam. Thank you so much, Tommy, for letting us know about this. So apparently some people are getting the problem has first been seen with the Grand Republic specific damage deck, but that like a card or two might be missing. So very basic advice. Go ahead and check when you buy these that you have all 33 cards. You have the correct number of cards. If there's an issue, you do need, remember, you can't call FFG anymore. They've stopped the direct customer service issue with product line. It's now you basically take it back to the store. Or Or another solution that I saw somebody say is like, well, if you and some friends all are missing a card, maybe gamble and buy one more deck, and maybe you all will get at least one of the ones you need. I mean, there's no perfect solution, but with, you know, swapping it out at the store, your store will be able to send it back to FFG and get their money back for that. You know, just the store doesn't necessarily lose anything on that. But yeah, so just watch out for that. And I would suggest go ahead, check any of the specialized damage decks. And honestly, I've even been at events where they give out a damage deck and there's been a card missing here or there. So watch out. Next, just a reminder here, the in-flight report, which is the big Gen Con, you know, report given at the beginning of Gen Con is happening still, but it's going to be live stream July 29th, 7 p.m. Central. So we'll be live here while that's going on, kind of for a live take while it's going, and then we'll talk a little bit about it after as well. So if you guys want to watch the direct FFG stream, go ahead and do that, and then just head over here afterwards. Or you guys want to watch it with us, that's cool too. And we'll hang out and we'll basically duck out after X-Wing. I don't really care. Don't really care about anything else for me personally. All right. And then last but certainly not the least, the most important thing. Okay. The most important thing we're going to talk about today, this weekend. Okay. This weekend, Campaign Against Cancer 24-hour live stream telethon event. Guys, We got big goals. We got big goals. We want you to be tuning in. Make sure that you're tuning in. Watch out for those notifications. I'll be going live here to be like, hey, it's starting. Let's go. And I'll come back every couple hours. You'll see me and, you know, kind of checking the status of everything. But Chad Heffley has been working his tail off. I will tell you, like, the documents that I'm like a small part of this big, much bigger thing. So hopefully you guys can tune in. It starts July 17th, 10 p.m. Eastern. 10 p.m. Eastern. All of you guys should be able to find yourself a you know, time and date converter for your local time. Just go ahead, punch that in. It's, 10 p.m. Eastern on the 17th, so you know when it starts. And it's going for 24 hours. All kinds of X-Wing content. There's going to be some live X-Wing content, some pre-recorded stuff. We got the actor who plays Chewbacca coming and doing the Chewbacca Roar contest. Like, there's all kinds of stuff happening over those 24 hours. And we're trying to get donations and all that and be able to make another big contribution to the Campaign Against Cancer and their work, you know, to benefit the children and families fighting against cancer. So let's just do a good thing together. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think Ryan, you're helping out at some point, right?
All yep, right. I am in a exhibition match against a local buddy of mine, Robert Monroe, who is also a major part of the recon specialist. And I know Marcel, I believe, is also in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'll be playing Kayla. So it'll be our first game since the whole quarantine started. So we both have not played a single actual table game. Well, table X-Wing game since it started. And I've been playing on Tabletop Simulator, so I'll be kind of cheating because... Yes, she's gone cold turkey on it.
No worries. Well, now we know what's going on, and super excited for that. Again, tune in, hang out, watch as much as possible. Let's keep that excitement going 24 hours. I'm not asking anybody out here to watch for 24 hours, but I mean, if you can, Iron Man prize to you. All right, well, let's go ahead, and we're going to jump in to our topic today. So let's go ahead and do that here. All right. So today we're breaking down the scum, the pilots of Scum and Villainy. What's going to happen? We're going to do a round table between myself, Marcel, Ryan, and Will. And we're going to put up a pilot. We're going to talk about it a little bit. What are some of the strengths, some of the weaknesses? Each of us will give our assessment on what tier we think this is going to, where this chassis will be. Now, remember, we're not necessarily talking about a specific pilot in the chassis, but the chassis overall. Now, for instance, when we get to the fire spray, okay, like, that's probably going to be an S-tier chassis because Boba Fett alone puts a whole team on his back, right? So that's a great great example there. But yeah, we have four levels, S-tier, A-tier, B-tier, C-tier. We'll have a discussion amongst ourselves. Be a part of the conversation in the chat, and we will go ahead and just end up with some awesome rankings. So we're going to get started, and our first one goes to Will, and the chassis is the Quad Jumper.
Oh, you're pulling on my heartstrings already. Quad Jumper, cheap for its hull of 5. Got that tractor beam. Oh, man, now I forget. They're putting me on the spot. Something tractor array.
Pinpoint.
Anyways, pinpoint. Pinpoint tractor array can give out 1 or 2 tractor tokens. Very unique action. Last slots. Interesting pilots. I want to say that this is A tier. My heart says A tier. What do you guys think?
My head says B tier.
Yeah, you rank. Are we each ranking it, or how are we doing?
Yeah,
this?
Let's go ahead. Each of us can give a rank, and we'll put in whatever the average is. How about that? Sound fair? So so Will saying A, but he's mostly leading with his heart, right? Well, Will, Ryan, B. I would say for myself, the Quad Jumper in a vacuum is probably S tier. The issue is the points. Now, on the onset of second edition, now, Will, you were playing the Quad Jumper. You were part of the group abusing this thing. Like, hey, I can fit. How many points was it on initial release?
It was 28.
Yeah, it super cheap.
It went up to 34. It's back down to 30 now, which is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, so I still think when used well, it's an A for sure, which of course makes it an A minus with our average, so we'll slide it down to B. But Quad Jumper, just a really good chassis. Really good chassis. All right.
Yeah, I'll put it as a B. Thanks for skipping over me, buddy.
You said B.
Did I? No, that was Ryan.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on the Quad Jumper, Marcel?
Oh, thank you. I thought you'd never ask. I'm not salty. I'm more on Ryan's camp. I think it's. I don't think it's an S even when it was 28. I thought it was a high A, and now that it's 30 and the and it changes with the you know, being able to tractor someone and then they get the chance, especially if you reposition them, they get the chance to turn now, which made tractoring a little bit different, means that if you're moving somebody at initiative 2, they can take the stress to change their which direction they're facing, and assuming they have a blue set in, there's no consequence for them changing their position. So that kind of makes their ability, especially at low initiative, a little worse. So I would even go as far as making it B minus.
Yeah, it seems like Emerald Beacon is agreeing with you, and that's a solid argument. I think I do have to with the.
But what is it? Go ahead.
Dion, you're right. It's just that with the new updated tractor rules, Quad Jumper's B tier at best.
Ah, you're right.
Which is true. We were referencing how good they were back in the day. Mm-hmm. In current rules fashion, you can't just move somebody and be like, haha, now you hit the rock. so, yeah.
There's a little bit more consequences. You're right.
I concede the A. It's still an A in my heart.
Yeah. It's definitely closer to like what Marcel's thinking, like even B minus potentially. Because realistically, on a competitive side, we haven't seen it anywhere since the new points, even though it went back down. Not as far down, but just not seeing use still, which could even lend itself to a C. But I think just the tractor at I1 is still powerful enough to make it in B, if it's a low B anyway.
Solid. All right, Ryan, since you're here, we're gonna go ahead and move to you, and we're gonna chuck you the Lancer class pursuit craft.
You'd love pulling heartstrings, man. I love me some Ketsu, but I think this is C. The base shadow caster Shadowport Hunter doesn't get used. Asajj doesn't, like, there's combos there to be like tanky-ish, but using the force requires to use her ability via, and then lots Rozzy combination, and then you're just not doing a ton of damage for how much you're spending on Asajj to do all that. Ketsu's the only one who sees use, and that's even on the downturn, because you're spending almost as much for that Ketsu as the Dengars we've been seeing, or at least a base cost Boba. Not obviously the base cost where you slap on Maul and Slave One. So I think the Shadowcaster is C tier, unfortunately.
All right, Will.
Yeah, there's a couple standout pilots, then two dud pilots for sure. Difficult to use title. It's got two illicits, which isn't helping it either. Like it has potential, but there's too many negatives bringing it down. So I'm gonna have to go with C tier as well.
Marcel.
A lot of good points, but I think C tier is way too much, because Ketsu, in a good list, it's still, by, I think Ketsu can be an A. I mean, right now, you're not seeing Ketsu, because Boba Fett is just too good. If Boba Fett wasn't there and Dengar and Fenn Rao are the other two really heavy hitters right now, they're initiative 6, so Ketsu being at Initiative 5 really doesn't get to do what he wants to do, which is tractor for the other ships to take a shot. But he's still an A in the right list. If you put him in a list where, you know, like the Ketsu, Ultarok, and Cabal or something like that, it's still going to be up there. So I'm going to go with a B. And I even think that the generic is not that bad at 56 points. The generic, it's got 9 hull. I know. I see you eyeballing it, because you've kind of crashed and burned a few times with it. But it's got a good dial. It's got 3 dice out of the front, 2 agility. It's got a rotating arc. It's got 5K turns. I think it's actually solid enough. It's a B for me.
Okay, so it comes down, I mean, right now it's already going to be an average of a C because of how the scale works, but, so, again, I think I put the Quad Jumper and the Lancer next to each other because Ketsu is the star, for sure, of the chassis, but, again, the tractor changes makes her less valuable. Pre-tractor changes, I think Ketsu could have pulled the overall ranking for the chassis all the way to A, because it was that good. But now, with the fact that, you know, a single tractor token doesn't do anything to medium or large base ships, and the fact that the small bases now have more agency, which is not necessarily for the health of the game, is a good thing, but just, you know, obviously it's not as strong. I think, you know, Sabine doesn't really have a too much of a strong use. We don't see her play too much. The generic Lancer, I want it to be good. I haven't found it, at least. Maybe it's just me. And Asajj, I think, is too expensive for what it is. So, it ends up in the C tier. I'm going to call it C as well. So, there it is. Next ship we're going to take is going to be the Kirax Fighter, and it's going to be for me. So, the Kirax Fighter is essentially the X-Wing of the Scum and Villainy faction, right? We have 3 hull, 2 shields. I'm sorry, we have 5. Sorry, 5 hull and 1 shield for a total of 6 health. And really, the one that shines the most is the the lowest initiative one, and specifically the list that I'm thinking of, which you probably are as well, is the Torkoal Mux with three of these and Captain Seaboard. That's just a really powerful jousting squad, really efficient for the cost. But at the same time, you also have quite a few bad pilots for it. Graz the Hunter, for instance, is a great example. But at the same time, you have two pilots that stick out in a way that if you can fly it well and be effective, and of course have enough points to kit it out, they can be devastating. And that's Justero and the highest initiative one, Talon Bane Cobra. The first time I saw, when I became a better believer in the higher initiative, the KRX fighters, was when I saw Old Para bring Ketsu, Talonbane, and Old Terok in a list, and seeing how carefully he flew that and made it effective, even with some of the weaknesses of the chassis, the fact that there's no boosts, right? It's just it feels a lot less maneuverable than the Fang Fighter, but just seeing the positioning of there showed that it can be good, and if you can throw five dice attacks, can be really, really solid. Because of that. And the initiative one, I'm going to go ahead and place it in the B tier, but it's a high B for me. I think it can be good, but I think it needs other pieces around it in order for it to be effective. By itself, it's a B. With other things like Torkoal Mux or something else that's going to boost that three attack dice gun, it ends up being an A. But again, in a vacuum, by itself, I think it's B. What are your thoughts, Marcel?
It's kind of hard to argue. And I wonder how much of it, again, is because we've been used to the same type of scum list being dominant with that 2 and 3 ship list, or just the one that all the initiative ones that Octocon's been using lately. So it's kind of hard to argue. I'd like to put it in the A because I think one of the things that sets it apart from other ships is the double illicit plus double mod slot. So it lets you put, it lets you get more fancy with it. But ultimately, it lets you get more fancy at increasing the cost that doesn't go along with it. Really, the only upgrade that makes sense on these ships is the contraband cybernetics, and maybe afterburners on Talonman Cobra. And those are really the only things. And then if I look at Talonman Cobra, 50 points, yeah, it's a good ship, gets the extra dice, the extra range bonus, offense and defense. 50 points, you give it afterburners and afterburners and contraband, now you're at 58. I'd rather have Sunterfell with crack shot at 56. I mean, it's just when you look at it that way, you're just not, there's nothing you can do about that ship. It's just cost it too high. And same thing with the generic at 38 points. The generic X-Wing is 39. The Zealot,
mm-hmm.
You get more out of the X-Wing than you do out of this. The shields make a difference, and then the linked actions make a difference as well. The repositioning makes a big difference. So, yeah, I got to go with you on a B.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm as well. B tier. There's when generics are good for a chassis that I think has a higher when comparing it to a single name pilot can have a lot of value in list building, especially when your ace pilot isn't someone like Soontierfell or Darth Vader in comparison like the rest of the chassis. This is, you're comparing it to Talonbane Cobra, who needs points to be even just effective, not even like great or good. Marcel talked about afterburners and contraband, which is probably what you would put on Talonbane. He's just worth more points than a lot of other aces right now that are just better. Joss Stero has definitely seen some effectiveness in scum combinations. Graz, I think, could... His ability's good. You just need to get him there, which feels like he requires a trick of afterburners or cloaking device. So you're investing at least 6 points for one of those. 6 or less, depending on if you go cloaking device. But I think overall, just B tier, because if you're taking the named ones, you have to invest, which makes them not as worth a comparison to other chassis. But their generics are great value in list building for the scum.
And Will.
Ryan summarized what Marcel said perfectly, that it's not a good chassis if it requires investments. So, yeah, I'm in full agreement.
All right. So I think ourselves and the chat is split. Okay. By the way, this is something I was like, wait, why am I not putting a poll for each of these? It's super easy to do. So what tier the chat, the people watching, tied at B and C. So I think overall we're going to end up putting that in the B tier. Next ship goes to Marcel, and that is the Jumpmaster 5000.
The crowd was wild. All right, so I think at the beginning of the year, everybody would have rated it appropriately a C. And then after the points change in the cannon upgrade plus Nomlom, I think people would have graded it a B. And then after the emergence of a non-punishing one, Dengar, with just the Proton Torpedo Han Solo and Contraband, and just really taking advantage of the Proton Torpedo and the cannon slot, I think that bumps it up even more to an A. So for me right now, it's an A. It's not an S. Dengar himself can be an S. It's an expensive S. But then you get Manaru, who is complete garbage. And you get Tel Chuvera, which for me is an A. So, actually, I would put Tel Chuvera as a B. So I would say Tel Chuvera is a B. Nomlom is an A. Dengar is between an A and an S. And then the generic is probably a B. And it all averages out to an A for me. And it's actually, I mean, it's got a lot of hull. It's got agility. It's got a lot of good upgrades that you can use with it. The generic is it's a body. Nomlom is really good, especially with the Dengar gunner, and then Tel Chuvera is sneaky if you know how to use them right. Very sneaky. And Dengar without the punishing one, with Han Solo and a proton torpedo, is just a straight beast. So A for me.
Pre the update where Jumpmaster 5000s got the cannon slot, I would have put them at whatever the lowest tier is. With the addition of the cannon slot, the availability of a gunner slot as well, allowing things like Han Solo and BT-1 for a fun auto blaster combination, I think it's in addition to Nomlom as well. They've gotten a lot of advancements since it came out in second edition. I think now with those adjustments, it never got its dial back that it was going to have from first edition. But they gave it a pseudo 180 arc. It feels like a large base turret now. That isn't... restricted to being just kind of a blocker. I feel like the generic like Falcon kind of ends up in that role. But the 5000s continue to focus in on offense, They like their guns, like the munitions. So I think now I could go, I would probably go A. Yeah. That can slap is so valuable on them. Dengar uses it. Almost anyone is putting a cannon on them now, right? Like either auto blaster or ion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's yeah, I could see the argument for A or B, just because Manaru and the contracted scout are just so meh. It really shines with two aspects that the Jumpmaster can excel well at. Dengar just being a beat stick, I'm going to provide a ton of firepower, or just being the most disruptive thing you don't want to shoot at, which is Nom Lom. Because if you shoot Nom Lom, at least whether Dengar gun or not, is going to be able to shoot back at you. Granted, with only two dice turret, but equipped ion cannon, you got a lot of shot coverage. It's time on target and a large base to get in your way at I1. Super annoying. So B plus A minus, move it up to A just because that's where the average is at. Cool with me.
Yep. Yep. Sorry, I was accidentally muted. Classic. Wouldn't be a podcast episode without me doing that at least one time. Yeah, so it averages out to A, and I was saying that I agreed with Will and Marcel. So let's go ahead and move the Jumpmaster there. All right, our next ship is to Will, and that is the Hawk. The Hawk 290 for the Killer Beard Hawk.
Oh, man. Once again, pulling on my heartstrings here. I want to go out and say it. S tier.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Dace. But
Dace is just holding us back.
S tier asterisk. Why do you do this to us, Dace? But all right. So, one of the few small base primary turrets. The action bar alone, focus rotate, target lock rotate, rotate, boost, jam. You got crew, bombs, and an amazing but expensive title to boot. You want to talk about pilots? We have two of the biggest, two of the most infamous Skull and Villainy pilots out there. Torkoal Mux and Paylob. Steal your tokens, make initiative zero. The Spice Runner. Spice Runner's a cheap turret and bomb platform as well. Dace is Dace. Ion is in the game. And large bases are coming back too, so hey, get your Dace lists out. But I think just purely on the variations of crew, bomb, and Alyssa, mixed with an amazing action bar, puts it just a higher caliber than other chassis, and firmly in S tier for me.
Fantastic. Marcel?
No, I can't go there. Now, I think, the thing for me is, okay, so it's expensive. When you add the title. Without the title, it's okay. It's probably a B without the title. With the title, it can get to an S if it wasn't so expensive. For me, it stays at an A. Even Paylob. Paylob lost a lot of what made Paylob great, just like Ultrarock lost a lot of what made Ultrarock great. And that is because of the Force. Darth Vader laughs at Paylob, and all the Jedi laugh at Paylob. They're like, "Yeah, sure, whatever, do your thing. I'm still gonna take all these eyeballs and put them in your face." So I just don't think, I can't see myself putting that as a mess for the kind of points that it'll cost. And you never see the Spice Runner, Dace. I actually can see a case for Dace nowadays. Not a Dace with a title, but just a Yeah, like, you know, Dace the Ace is, you could, you know, like I said, there's, like he said, the Seek, the Jumpmaster. I mean, there's more Ions going around, and if one Ion, you hit a large base with an Ion, Dace can, you know, make it a sad day for that large base. So I can see some utility for Dace without the title, because it's not worth an extra 18 points. But if it were a little cheaper, S at the points that it is that it is at now, it's an A for me, and it proven by how rarely you see them on the table at competitive play.
Ryan.
Yeah, mostly in agreement with Marcel. I was going to put it kind of at a solid A, but it's kind of similar to the Jumpmaster, kind of floating between A and B, just that Palob is neutered a lot by the effectiveness of Force users, just requiring to take those repositions and target locks, so they don't really need to take Focus or Evade as much. Torkoal proving to be really good, though, as a pilot, efficiently supporting multiple types of list variations, most commonly being the Cartel Marauder. Dace, whatever. He'll probably more likely trigger to a crit disable power regulator than actually hitting a ship with your other ship with an ion effect from something. So, neat. I'm not against it being an A, because I still think, like, it, if I compare it to what's in B, I think it is better than what we've seen in B right now. So I put it in A, just because the chassis and that front three arc primary added on the action bar, like Will mentioned too.
Yep, I agree. And the superstar of the Hawk chassis is Torkoal Mux right now. Torkoal Mux, Palob, Spice Runner, 50 feet, Dace. all jokes aside, honestly, yeah, I've also never also seen the Spice Runner, so maybe it could be effective in some type of scum salad. We haven't seen it. I think it has to get a little bit cheaper, because at its current price, you start looking a couple points ahead, and you can get Torkoal Mux. You just take Mux. That's the clear choice. So yeah, we end up at A, and the chat majority of the vote agrees. Now I will say, we got a lot more people watching than we have voting. Be a part of the conversation. Super easy. All you got to do is type 1, 2, 3, or 4, or even we have a program now where you can type actually just S, A, B, or C, and that works too.
This is practice for November. Do it now.
There you go. And next we have the G1A, and Ryan, we're going to stay with you. What are your thoughts on the G1A Starfighter?
Man, do you know us that well?
I know you guys pretty darn well.
As much as I like to try and employ Forlom whenever I do fly scum, which is minimal, stress effects, even to this day right now, and how the tight area that is, it's the whole like effectiveness points, it's a cool, like Forlom needs to be in lists that are other threats, other target priority decision issues, and finding that without losing firepower or going out on too many tricks is weird. And then we just don't see the Gan Finesman. We don't see Zuckuss, even though Zuckuss could provide some solid additional firepower for, like, he's 45 points. Like, that's a middling tier X-Wing. Now, that's not terrible, but he's a medium base. And his dial's not great. He doesn't have Forlom tricks to mitigate the dial. So, unfortunately, another favorite pilot of mine needs to be in C tier.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and go next. Yeah, yeah. The Forlom is good. Forlom is scary. And a good list is really, really terrifying. I'll go ahead and talk about Zuckuss a little bit. That additional die that you're able to roll is nice. But I don't... For the cost and the fragility of... So, having the one agility definitely hurts. They can get burned down really, really quickly. And the... the dial just kills it. You basically get one good pass with Zuckuss, and by the time you get everything turned around, you're probably behind. And the only one, like you said, who can really mitigate that is Forlom. Any additional thoughts, Marcel?
Yeah. Staying on the C train here. You know, when you compare it to the B-Wing, which is what it used to be compared to in the past, when you compare it to the B-Wing, it just doesn't hold up. It needs a title to really reposition. It's a big base ship, so it's going to bump and hit asteroids more. It's going to take less actions because of that as well. All those other ships, those other ships that are that size, whether it's the Kashyyyk fighter or the Arc 170, or, you know, I don't even start comparing it against the other medium base ships. They have two arcs, or they have some other redeeming quality. This one has no redeeming quality. Even the Skurg, which we'll get to later, has a potential second arc with a turret. So this one does not have any of that. Has a terrible dial. Has two ships that have really cool abilities. They're just not worth the points that you have to invest in them to really get those abilities to trigger. I think the only person that I've really seen fly them well in a put together list was it was that young kid in Indianapolis, like in Outrider forever ago.
Oh, Dominic. Yeah, Dominic. When he did the Pelop Boba Forlom when they were all super cheap and they shouldn't fit in the list that they
dirty.
Did.
Dirty. Yeah. Like,
ever since then, it's just, like I said, I just don't think it's worth the plastic. Is that going too bad? Too much?
Wow. You're saying that it's sub-C. That's where, if we had a category lower than C, that's where you'd put it?
I think out of the entire scum faction, this is the worst ship.
All right. Strong. Very, very strong. All right. So, Will.
I wish I could argue in favor of the G1A. I think there's just a couple things missing that it as a chassis could be taken advantage of. Its shining star is its white jam action, but without any combos of that, Forlom's advanced sensoring, and I guess Zuckuss could utilize it, but we don't really see that ever. And this really haven't gotten a lot of upgrades that I wish would work. Like passive sensors doesn't really work on generics because they have such a hard time actually taking actions because their dial's such full of red maneuvers. I think it has potential, but yeah. There's nothing, outside of the comboing with pilot abilities, it doesn't seem to combo with anything else. So yeah, throw it in the C tier, I guess.
All right.
I was going to say trash, but not that.
Throwing this out there, besides having it just go down in points, what would we think if this thing got a payload slot? Bombs and devices.
I think that would make it definitely more dangerous with the dial that it has, because it has a stop, right? It has a stop, and then with the red maneuvers, where while you're having to get everything turned around, you can still be a threat. And I think that's the problem. It's like once it makes that first pass, it becomes a lot less scary. All right, next one here is the Fang Fighter. I'm going to go ahead and take this one here. It is definitely a favorite of mine. And I think the Fang Fighter is our first S-tier ship that we have in this list. Now, not everything is unicorns and rainbows for the Fang Fighter. Specifically, it's 4 health. It's extremely susceptible to, if flown poorly, aka not in range 1, you can be super sad. And that's one of the biggest things that I look at for the Fang Fighter is that when flown well, it really can make an absolute huge difference. Let's talk about Fenrau, right? Fenrau hits like an absolute truck. Let's even just talk about the chassis. The chassis ability, right? The Concordon face-off. Being able to get that free evade, I have seen so many people be frustrated by the you know, oh, I got enough damage. Oh, wait. One die gets changed to an evade. You just have insurance. It's just sitting in there. The Fang Fighter Initiative 5, Old Terok, good utility. We did see its cost go up a little bit, and the last points change because getting rid of tokens is great. Especially, it says all green tokens, so that's including calculates and reinforces out there. Really strong. The Initiative 1 pilot, I think right now, is probably the best point value out of all of them. Investing a lot of points in Fenrau can be really scary when you only have 4 health, but when you can take, you know, 1.5 protectorates for the cost of Fenrau, then you can build other things around it. That chassis ends up stretching quite a bit, and Octocon's list is a great example of the use of those initiative ones with other tools around it. Just makes that ship absolutely devastating. But even I think in a vacuum, it's really great. We've seen them do well in multiple pairs with just other Fang Fighters. I'm calling it S tier. Do we have any arguments? I guess I think this one was a fairly easy one. Oh, Ryan's coming at me. Come at me. Fight me.
I think it's A tier. While Fenrau is great, Zealous Recruit is a good generic. The Skull Squadron Ace is good. Terok has unfortunately fallen from grace. Cad Solas is barely ever used. Enjoy Rekoff is a ship that people forget even exists.
True.
It is definitely A tier. It is bordering on S tier, and here's the key, like you mentioned, it can be in the right player's hands. That is a huge thing. Everyone thinks it's super easy, just get to range one. Okay, do it without losing the trade. You might get there, but you might lose trade on positioning. You might lose trade on, oh, you got there, but not everyone was range one. You might have shot at the thing at range one. It might have shot you back. Might not have done any damage. But the other two or three ships behind shot you. And that's a problem. Unfortunately, I got to think as well. The current meta of what else is out there a lot: A-wings, other fire sprays, high initiative aces that can nope out of range one if they want. There's unfortunately a lot of things. And man, Discord missiles, these fangs cannot handle Discord missiles. And you know what doesn't mind you being range one? Discord missiles. Because there are layers of droids. Someone will get you.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's true.
It's like, it can't, as I said, it can be S. But on the average basis, across the whole chassis, and across most player base, it stays in A tier.
Fantastic. Marcel.
I actually, as Ryan was talking, I don't know if you saw in chat, I was starting to summon the mob and the pitchforks for Ryan, but he made good points. However, this is what I'm going to say. He said in the hands of the wrong person, in the hands of the right person, and I think that makes a huge difference. And in the hands of the wrong person, any ship is garbage. Right, in the hands of the right person, not any ship is S tier. And for me, I'm still gonna have to keep it with S tier because it has a lot of it forgives you. It has a lot of even a Fang Fighter flown by somebody who's not necessarily sure what to do with it can punish you really bad. And if at 41 points. Or even the other ship, the Initiative 4 with Fearless on it, you can't ignore it. You can't leave it. If it's on there, you have to shoot at it. You have to try to kill it. And now, I mean, I fell victim to the. Remember the old Sunterfell in 3 initiative once.
You mean Fenrau and three initiative once?
Yeah. Fen and three initiative once. Like the even that, like, I, you know, one time I remember going to a tournament. It was at Gen Con, actually. Gen Con last year, I was like, I got this. This is easy stuff. Bunch of initiative once. I just have to deal with Fen. And those things just wouldn't die. They just have three agility. They roll. And then when they get close, you can't kill them. And it snuck up on me. And it made me say today, I agree with you. It's an S. So, William, break the tie.
I don't think I can because the chat's predominantly S tier. My simple thoughts is that Concordia itself would make any ship into A tier. I have my doubts on the no shields and the lack of double reposition, calling yourself an ace out there, single repositioning. But it does get bonus points in my book for both being the high initiative and the generic are both utilized well. It's got its flaws, but I mean it's a good shift regardless. So go ahead and put it in the S tier. Sorry, I can't convince them, Ryan.
No, it's okay. Like I said, I'm not arguing against it hard being an S tier, but no. I'll make my stance to say why it should be an A, but I'm not going to be like, bro, it should never be an S. I don't agree, ever.
Turns off computer, walks away, goes to bed.
No, it's definitely not like an unkillable ship or an auto win, if you will. You still have to fly it correctly. But when you do that, very successful.
All right, our next ship is the YT-1300, the Scum Falcon, and you know who this goes to, Marcel Manzano.
Well, this is a half a ship that's missing the other half. So are we just judging it by it itself? Anyway.
Okay, so I guess we can do it together if you would like. No,
we don't have to do it together.
I already put it out there. It's too late.
All right, whatever. We can put them together because I would actually if you put them together, I actually would put them separately. I would actually put the Falcon in the C tier and the the thing that comes out. I only know the autopilot drone.
The shuttle,
what is the ship
called?
Okay. The ship that the autopilot drone flies.
Escapecraft.
I would put that as a B. So I would actually put, I think the escapecraft is better than, because it has more utility than this Falcon, that the Scum Falcon. The Scum Falcon just with the two, is the only Falcon with only two attack dice. I like Han Solo. I like Han Solo with the auto, you know, with trick shot and just being able to do a lot of fancy stuff. But really, it just ends up not taking enough actions. It ends up bumping. I mean, I've flown it a lot, and it's a lot of fun. And people who don't know what I want to do with it, it's fun to catch them off guard and throw 5-6 dice in their face. It's like, oh, how do you get a two agility? A two attack ship to throw 5 or 6 dice, like. Ways, but against anybody else who knows that it's coming, it's hard to get it off. It's hard to make it happen. So for me, the Falcon is just a C. I would take. I mean, yeah, it's a C. Unfortunately, I wish it were better. The Escapecraft, however, I would put as a B because it does have some utility with the coordinate action, with the fact that it's not expensive, with the fact that it can make a C-level ship, if you combine them together, make it a B-level ship, because at that point you have 13, you're adding two more shields, and you're adding additional, I fly the autopilot drone a lot, but outside of the autopilot drone, adding the other ships actually gives you the other ship's ability, so a lot of people don't take that into consideration when they fly them together, is that you get your named ship to have a secondary ability. On Han Solo with a Doc Lando is really, really, really good. Or even a Doc L3. So together, I would put them a B. If they're separate, I would put the 1300 as a C and the shuttle as a B.
Ryan?
Pretty much in agreement. We've seen in the past the escape craft has offered utility. There's ways and combinations for the Falcon to get interesting results, but ends up being on the gimmicky side. And just hasn't, like, both of them really haven't seen much competitive successful competitive results recently, but if one of them was going to, it would be because of the coordinate from the escape craft. There's ways you can weed it into certain lists that it can benefit higher from. Maybe? Oh, man. Because I'm just trying to think of, like, purely from this points bracket, right? Not farther back when the escape craft was more relevant. Like, maybe they're both C-tier. I mean, at least the Falcon is C-tier. The argument for utility on the escape craft is there for B. So yeah, we'll stick with C for the Falcon, B for the escape craft.
All right. For me, Ryan, what you mentioned about the escape craft, for me, the lack of relevance lately slides it down to C for me. Like, we really haven't seen it. Was definitely used well. On the onset of second edition, you had a lot of people using L3 for that coordinate platform, and that is the best thing about it. It's a really cheap coordinate comparatively to other factions that you can get in there, but it just hasn't been super effective. And for that, I'm dropping it down to C for both. And then all, we will.
What?
Sorry, Will. I forgot where I was. I was like, oh no, who was the next person?
No worries. Well, I think they are certainly fun and thematic and really give that ship feel that they're going for. In deathmatch and competitive play, they just can't get it done. It has potential, especially when you do dock them together, right? You get the auto drone, you get the title, you get more health, you get a fun thing that comes out of you and coordinates you for a round and then goes off and tries to blow up. That's just fun. But unfortunately, with the amount of upgrades that the Falcon needs to actually perform, including bringing a second ship docked into it, that's automatically C tier. And the fact that the escape craft isn't great at anything other than coordinate, L3 literally is just like, I don't need my calculate, please anybody else have an action. Plus, like, their dial, man, escape craft's dial's bad as well. It's got one of the worst dials in the entire game. So I think overall the coordinate can't save the escape craft, in my opinion. So they're both C-tier.
All right. So I think that averages out to B-, which ends up sliding it down to B. To C. We did have the chat put it at B with C as the runner-up. Okay, guys, because of time, we're going to enter the lightning rounds. And I knew this was going to happen with these larger factions because there are more pilots, and we've had a lot more experience overall with them. So we're gonna pick up the speed here, couple of thoughts, give the rating, and we move on. We can, if we have any strong dissent, we can go ahead, jump in, give reasons, and then we gots to go. All right, Will, you are up the YV666.
Oh, I want to say A, but everyone's going to put it at B.
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 B. I agree. All right, Ryan, the M3A Interceptor.
A tier. lightning round, just saying A.
I agree.
A.
All right, and Will?
You want to go S, don't you?
He does want to go S.
No, what? No, I was gonna say B.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. B+ at its current points.
B+ tier. All right.
Yo, you know you're going to have to finish the graphic, though.
Oh, I'm working on it. Yes, I'm having an issue. I'm trying to be Rico Suave in the background.
Round.
It's lightning round. I'm doing it.
Lightning.
I promise it's happening. It'll pop up all at the end.
I'll keep track here. So.
You got it.
Yeah. Do you want me to fill in the next ships? I don't even see them on the list right now.
Yeah, Star Viper. Next one, Will.
Oh, S tier. Curvy barrel rolls, linked actions.
A.
Marcel Armies for and B. All right, so that I'm gonna call it a B as well, because basically it's Guri and then everything else. I think that averages out to an A after that. The Z95, Marcel.
B.
C.
Oh man, you guys hate these ships.
Give it an A, Will, and then we'll end up at a B.
I was gonna say A tier, of course. All
right, there you go. So it ends up at a B.
Ends up
averages
at a B.
Out.
Okay. All right. Marcel, the Skurg.
Ooh, God, I still want it to be an A, but it's I'll give it a C.
All right. I'm in agreement there with C. Like, it has a lot of tools you can put on it, but it just doesn't have the horses right now.
I agree with C. There's some tools, things that it could do to be scary, but it is C.
Yeah, without double tapping and Drea giving free rerolls, the whole chassis went astray from its standard bombing. So
veteran turret gunner also got more expensive on that one.
Yeah, it needs to go back to its bombing roots, and we just are not going to see it played like that. C tier.
All right, Will, the Mining Guild TIE Fighter.
Ooh, that's actually a tough one. I would put it firmly in B.
All right. I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's Captain Seavor, and the Initiative One kind of has something going for it.
Ahav is also pretty good, but not enough to get it up to an A.
It has outliers, but the chassis itself, like that ship ability, is mediocre at best.
Yeah, I'd say a low B, just because a lot of the other chassis aren't used, but Seavor is pretty good, and, you know, average B is fine.
All right, Ryan, the Kimogila.
B tier. We've seen use, even for the generic Cartel Executioner, but mostly Tirani. Tirani's actually been a driving force on a couple lists that have had some serious success. I mean, series in, like, top 16, top 8, which is still very good. But B tier.
I'm in the same place.
Yep. Ditto.
Yeah, I like that we see it. That definitely keeps it out of the dumpster fire of C tier. So, B tier at least.
Speaking of dumpster fires, IG-88.
Oh.
The aggressors, they just don't have anything going for them right now. They have cool toys. There's not enough points or enough toys though to make them good. C tier.
IG-88D.
Oh.
I think that IGA with something else, you know, IGA, IGB, and a plus one is a good casual B list, but the ship itself is a C.
All right, so I think go ahead.
I fully agree. They got nerfed hard without push, with no linked actions, and how Advanced Sensors works now. They're just not the ship that they were in previous editions, and I don't know if they can get back to their former glory.
It's got to be a difficult balance, because, like, look at just the stat bar. 3-3-5-3. Like, that should be really good, but they're all I-4, and they all have special abilities that make their costs so high, and you have to invest points.
The medium base doesn't help them either.
That too, yeah. Medium base, forward arc locked.
Yeah, even with the hard ones available to them, that medium base makes it hard for them to keep anything on target. Makes it hard for them to stay on target for long.
Agree. The Scum Y-Wing. I don't know who's next. Somebody, just say something.
you, Dion.
Me. Oh, I said the aggressor.
Oh, then it's back to me then.
Yep.
No, it's actually to Marcel.
Scum Y-Wing.
Well, I hate Y-Wing, so I would put him in a Z-, but realistically, probably a B.
I'm surprised you gave him a B. I'd give him a C.
You can put ion turrets on them and they'll be alright.
Yeah, but isn't that like the same cost as the Kirax right now? Or less? Or like, no, hold on. Y-Wing? No,
they're 37, I think, for the
Primorgoon. No, it's a little bit cheaper, but yeah, they're not seeing play at all.
And you got Cavil.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the B tier. Between the options of turrets and bombs and torpedoes, the chassis itself, now that we don't see double tapping Cavils out there, I think it has potential to be good. So I think it could go into B.
I agree. And then last but certainly not the least, the fire spray.
S. Okay, we're done.
Right? Take a rocket off into space.
So we only have two out of, this is the heaviest, the thickest faction we've done.
Yep.
And it's heavy loaded on the BC, only two S ships. Got a lot of A's.
Well, if you look at it another way, right, you could take the S tier, combine it with A, and say that about an equal number, top tier ships equal to B. You can kind of look at it that way. I mean, that is still a significant chunk.
Wait, you got a mistake on there, though.
Do I?
No, it's not a mistake.
YV666
needs to be down one.
Oh, I put it in the wrong spot. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't listen to you put it in with your heart.
Yeah, you got a mistake.
Minus that fix. I'd like to clarify.
I would even take Gurry down to B. It should only really be the sick.
Well, we've seen
Okay, I'll leave it. But yeah, that YV definitely doesn't belong there.
Sorry.
But
I'd like to clarify, Bulba is, or the fire spray is not there only because Bulba. We've seen solid success from Koshka and Iman.
Yeah.
Granted, with Bulba, but you could say the same argument with Dengar, and Dengar is currently sitting at A. So across the entire chassis, besides Cath Scarlet and Crassus Trellix, Bounty Hunter's seen a little bit of play trying to mess with that Fire Spray plus Fen Rao or Fangs plus Bulba archetypes.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So here we are, our final rankings for Scum. You got S tier is the Fang Fighter and Fire Spray. A tier, we have Jump Masters, Hawks, M3As, and Star Vipers. At the B tier, we have the Quad Jumpers, Kirax, Escape Craft, Z95, Mining Guild Tai, Kimo Gila, Y Wing, and the YV666. And then in the C tier, the bottom of the barrel, we have the Lancer class, the G1A, the YT-1300 Scum Falcon, the Skurg, and the Aggressor, the not Thai Aggressor, the IG-88s. So hopefully
you should make one of your League Knights C-tier only. Any faction C-tier only.
I agree.
That may or may not be my plans as we finish our... Spoilers! Dang it! Come on! Yeah, so that's definitely the plan.
You call it spoiler. I call it like, you know, we come up with an idea, and you're like, spoiler, I had that planned all along.
I did. Oh.
I see how it works.
Then immediately writes it down on a piece of paper, like, yeah.
I would like to say Scum is the sad robots faction right now.
It really is.
Because Guri's a cyborg, I think.
What? She is. No, she's full android, man.
I don't remember. She's... I don't know the right canon for that.
What?
I don't even think she's canon.
She's canon in the hearts.
It's true. It's true. All right, so there we go. That's our finalized Scum list. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. All right, let's go ahead and jump into some lists of the week. Here we got about 15 to 20 minutes before I got to bounce. So our first list comes to us from Newman. Newman? Yes, Newman. And by the way, if you want to submit lists for List of the Week, all you have to do is join our Discord. We have a room in there, and just toss it in there. Make sure to include a Yasby link. If you do not include a Yasby link, you are automatically disqualified. I will not even look at your list because the Yasby link saves me time, and I appreciate that. All right. So, Newman, let's go ahead and go to the to the squad builder, gave us a resistance list, and it is Han in the Resistance Falcon and Poe Dameron. The prompt says, I have a big bid in this list, which I think is needed, but I don't know if I need to add anything and if this two-ship list could actually work. So we have, and I'll go ahead and take this one, unless, Ryan, you have something that pops off that you think should happen here.
With maintaining the two ships, I just see one specific... Actually, two things I'd probably swap out upgrade-wise.
All right, well,
but that's it.
I'll let you take it. I'll let you take it.
Okay.
All right, so we have here Han Solo. Let me go ahead and read it off real quick.
Yeah,
have Han Solo with Heroic, Corsella, Cato Conix, Rey as a gunner, Contraband Cybernetics, and then the Rey Millennium Falcon title for a total of 95 points on that Falcon. And then you have Poe Dameron in the T-65 with Heroic, R4 Astromech, Integrated S-Foils, Black One title, and Proton Torpedoes for a total of 181 points, which is a 19-point bid.
All right. So, a couple routes you can go. Let me double check Cato Conix really quick, unless if you want to pull that up and remind people what that
so
does.
Cato Conix says, after you reveal your dial, you may set your dial to a basic maneuver of the next higher speed. While you execute that maneuver, increase its difficulty.
So that does have, obviously, a lot of value on Han being I-6 and with that bid likely moving last. I don't know if that is worth more than Rose Tico, though. Like, Rose is a really good offensive multiplier. And you're a big base. You're either going to zoom past them or get blocked. Or if you're in the fray, if you have the opportunity to change your speed... I just don't know how often that's going to benefit you when the blue maneuvers on your ship, when you don't have Leia crew anywhere in the list, are some of the worst options to do blues to try and get actions later. But with Ray Gunner, actions are less necessary. So Ray Gunner is a very good upgrade and offensive and defensive modifier. What definitely can be gotten rid of is Heroic. Just take that right off Han. There's so few opportunities that's ever going to occur that it's not worth it. I used BB-8 Poe recently, and man, that is, it's good, but BB-8 Poe does really like being coordinated prior to, though, and that's not in this list. So I think I'm erring on the side of getting rid of Heroic, swapping out Cato Conix for Rose, and just making sure Han does as much damage as possible. We need that bid. Thinking about Trick Shot on Han. 12 points is still pretty good. And... yeah, that's probably enough. 12 points beats most bids. You can make an argument of taking Heroic off Poe and putting a like a lone wolf on there.
Mm-hmm.
But lone wolf 5 points hasn't actually shown as much value as it used to. Because you're only relegated to one reroll, and there's no guarantee it's going to be as worth it, especially defensively, when Poe's likely used his focus offensively. So the heroic insurance is probably fine there.
All right, so we end up with Han Solo with Trickshot, Corsella, Rose Tico, Ray Gunner, Contraband Cybernetics, and Ray's Millennium Falcon. Then Poe Dameron with Heroic R4, just unchanged there, S-Foils, Black One, and Proton Torpedo. So you lost a little bit of that bid, but I do agree. I do think this is a better list. All right, our next list comes to us from Rowan 3, and Marcel is going to break this one down. The list is Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is a Republic, by the way. Obi-Wan Kenobi with R2 Astromech 7B, Anakin Skywalker with 7B, and then Rick Olay with nothing for a total of 200 points. The prompt says, it seems like Oliver Pocknell, that's the world champion, was creating his world's list. He was looking for force, mobility, and 3 dice attacks. I started this list with the idea of creating a Republic version with similar ideas. In looking at Republic 5s, it seems like it struggles with initiative 6s and big bid Boba. I'm still not happy with this version. Is it a faction weakness, or is there a better way to get a similar result?
All right. So it is a faction difference more than a faction weakness. So you have you're not going to replicate what Ali did with or what people are doing with the Imperial side of it, because it's just completely different ships and different costs, especially if you're trying to go with Anakin in this list. How much is Anakin? 82. So yeah, you're just not going to be able to do that. Now, what you can do is try to overcome some of the downsides to it. So the way that I would probably go around doing that, just try to get everything that you want, take advantage of the force, take advantage of all of the different things, move after everything else that is not initiative 6, and still be able to deal with initiative 6 or losing the bid if you're flying against like a Boba Fett, is drop Anakin down to Plo Koon, get them all into I-5, and you can put R2 on Plo Koon. So you get that double regen. It makes both of those ships live forever. And then you throw Sense on Obi-Wan. And in doing so, that you know, you get your 3 I-5, your 3 initiative 5s, you get 195, and you can Rick Olay, if you end up losing him, you're losing 42 points, so it's kind of like your throwaway ship, but it's a throwaway ship that has a free evade, it can reposition it with a focus or a boost and still have an evade, so it can serve as your blocker, so it has a lot of utility. They're all initiative 5, so you can do a whole lot with that, and then your 2 heavy hitters are regen, and the Sense really covers not so much against Boba Fett, but against everybody else not named Boba Fett, it covers most of your angles by being able to see people's dials. And if you see this Saturday's plug, if you see this Saturday's campaign against cancer, where Duncan, Howard, and I go over our Worlds match from last year, you can see how much stock Duncan Howard put into Sense upgrade. Duncan Howard's Worlds match versus me, his entire strategy was get Sense off the board. It is that good when you're playing against Initiative 6 and Vader can't do his 2-3 passive sensors. He can't do any of that if he has 0 actions because you know where he's going to end up and you block him. So anyway, this is for what you're trying to do. This is probably it, but I'm going to change it a little bit more and try to tweak it and improve it so you can do a lot more with it and make it more competitive against other things, not just initiative by 5 and I-6. So you're going to take Plo Koon and drop him down to a calibrated and you're going to take that R2 implode and take it to a C10, which is the chopper droid, which basically gives you two evades. After you use those two evades, then you can, you're basically jamming anybody at initiative, I mean at range 0 to 1. It gives you a lot of points to put Rick Oli on regen. So you put R2 on regen, you put R2 on Rick, advanced sensors on Rick, and you throw Daredevil on Rick, because Daredevil is fun. And when you mix Daredevil and advanced sensors, it becomes double the fun. And yeah, you end up with 197. It's only 2 points difference, but the Plo Koon with chopper and two regen ships, a lot of people don't use it this way, but Plo Koon's ability lets you pass off a token to whoever needs it. We already know that, but it also lets you pull an orange token from those who don't need it. Plo Koon will be having the weakest gun and not the regen. He's the cheapest ship, and he will have the weakest gun with only shooting two dice out of the front. So if anybody goes after Obi-Wan with sense, who's going to be your biggest target, Obi-Wan can choose to regen, get in, target lock, threaten somebody. And then if people are like, well, you know, he's regen, I'm not so much worried about him, Plo Koon can then pull that weapon disabled away. And next thing you know, you have Obi-Wan at range 1 with a target lock and able to shoot when people thought he was going to be weapons disabled. So this is probably what I would go with above all. The version before is what I would do if you're just trying to get more of like the Ollie style of play, but with a way to counter initiative 6.
One of the things I want to note when trying to build, I'm going to specifically talk about Ollie's list. Some of the ship chassis themselves in that Empire list, so this is Whisper, Grand Inquisitor, and Vader. The TIE V1, the Inquisitor, and the TIE Phantom move much differently than any of the ships here on the board. And I think the way that those ships move, the decloak for Whisper making her extremely unpredictable, and then the tight radius that the Grand Inquisitor can keep, and also with the defensive and offensive mods that it has, I think that is that the inclusion of that defensive ability plus mobility is really what pushes that list to the forefront. While I do agree, like, I think Marcel did give you the closest that he could in Republic, I would not expect this list to perform as well for those reasons.
Wait, this final list or the one before this?
Either of them.
All right, I'm going to fight you with this one in League Night.
You know what? I'll get Ollie to play you, and let's see what happens.
I'll fight him too. I've been chasing him for a bit.
All righty. And last but not least, we have a scum list that Will's going to take a look at. This comes from Katadin44. The prompt says, played this a couple of weeks ago and really enjoyed it. Any ideas on how it can be improved? That would be appreciated. And, oh man, we got some C-tier up in here. All right, so we got we got two, not one, but two Shadowport Hunters. That's the lowest initiative. Is it Initiative 3? Initiative 2 Lancers with contraband cybernetics for each of them. Then L3 in the escape craft. And then Torkelmux in the Hawk with Tobias Beckett and the Moldy Crow title. For a total of 200 points.
Okay. We got Shadowport Hunters. And I'm not even changing them. I like the vibe here with the Initiative 2s, Torkoal's Initiative 2, Shadowport's Initiative 2. We can roll with that. I'm going to make an extreme change right off the bat. Before we get into upgrades, I'm dropping L3.
We'll see why in a bit. Bee boop.
Cute tricks. Coordinating evade tokens and whatnot, also an I2. Very interesting, but not what I'm looking for. I want to lean more into the control aspect of it. So we're going to replace it with an ion cannon cartel spacer. L3, I just don't think L3's gun's ever relevant at any point in time. It's never modified. I want a real gun out there, and I want it to have some sort of control. I'm sure we're way over points.
205.
With that, yeah. That's okay. We're dropping the Moldy Crow title. I personally don't think Torkoal needs it. It keeps him really cheap. He should be at range 3, just sniping in long range arcs and to keep that arc as wide as possible. He shouldn't be jousting, so like he shouldn't be using his front arc ship. That's a payload thing. My next thought goes to crew members for these Shadowport Hunters. They're going to need something. You can put Zuckus on one of them. Zuckus stresses yourself to make the enemy roll dice. They have very reasonable blues with the hard threes and the three banks. So I like that idea. Then the other one, I'm actually going to put the... This might be straying from what made the list easy and efficient before, but I'm actually going to put the Shadowcaster title and Forlom crew on the other one. Shadowcaster title does require you to overlap your arcs, but you're going to hand out a tractor beam when you shoot. Forlom can prevent their token that they would normally spend to stop that tractor from hitting, and of course they're going to be initiative 0 at the point in time. Yeah, Torkoalmux out there. I should have, what, 8 points left or
eight,
so?
8 points left.
Yeah, so I really thought about some cargo chutes, thought about some different things with getting another M3 or a better M3A, like a Naldra in there or Sunny Bounder, things like that. But I ended up going with Contraband and Proxy Mines on Torkoalmux. I could talk about Contraband Cybernetics all day. When you got linked actions and red on your dial, just goes together perfectly. And Proxy Mines, just because you are a high value target, plus you have Ion and Tractor in your list.
And Boost. And Tractor. Can't forget the Boost, so good.
You do have a Boost action, that's true. Might not be using it too much without the Moldy Crow title. I did kind of want to reach for like engine upgrade to keep him in the fight earlier, but I just like the deterrent of Proxy Mines to shoot to close down lanes. There's a strong argument for Seismics if you're trying to blow them up and give your Shadowport Hunters more room, but I think you're bringing tiny rocks with this list anyways because of how big those Shadowport Hunters are. But really it comes down to is tractor beaming, ionizing, and making a ship initiative 0. Trying to take away all of its agency so it can't even do anything against your C-tier ships.
Excellent. So we end up with a Shadow Port with Zuckus and Contraband, another one with Forlom, Contraband, and Shadowcaster title, Torkoalmux with Tobias Beckett, Proximity Mines, and Contraband Cybernetics, and the Cartel Spacer with an Ion Cannon. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's List of the Week segment. I know this is probably one of my favorite segments where we just get to theorycraft a little bit and maybe go outside our box from what we would normally start a build from because it starts somewhere else. So thank you everybody for watching. Remember, this upcoming weekend, the 17th, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, Campaign Against Cancer. Listen, I know that a lot of you are part of the notification squad. I am urging you, even if you turn it on after, I don't want you guys to miss the awesome content that's happening for the Campaign Against Cancer. Even if, you know, you leave it on in the background all day, watch, support. I say a lot of work has gone into it. If you can donate, great. If you can't, come and just be a part of the fam. Come hang out. It's going to be a ton of fun.
What are the ways to donate?
What are the ways to donate? So the Campaign Against Cancer is taking care of that. It will all be announced live. There are a couple of details that we're still working on to make it as easy as possible for all of you. And also, there are giveaways happening during the stream as well. And being a donator does increase your chances on getting some of these things, including those coveted Campaign Against Cancer coins that they can't sell. Because those could only be Lucasfilm. The rules are they could only sell those in person at the Campaign Against Cancer. So the only way you can literally get them now is by winning them. And they're giving away two every hour. So if you want to get that Baby Yoda Mando coin, which is awesome, you actually saw the art here. Okay, if you want those coins, you gotta watch live.
I got a question. I want to donate something.
Okay.
So, how many people? We still got 76 people. How many people are interested in the fuzzy dice that were given a few years back? They're near and dear to my heart. Alone with Death. It's the large. What do you call them? Fuzzy dice that hang from the
car. Yeah.
From the windshield. I will I'll talk to the owner about it, but we'll figure out a way to either auction them or give them away after a certain milestone. But that's my gift to the Campaign Against Cancer.
Wow.
And you know they're near and dear to me.
They are highly coveted because they only made so few of those. Oh, wow. That's awesome, man. All right. We'll get it figured out. Everybody, again, hopefully we see you this weekend. You're going to see lots of faces on stream. It should be awesome. I'm excited. Thanks for watching, everybody. We love you, fam. Be smart. Be safe. Gold Squadron out.